What's good, everybody? We back with another episode of We Just Be Talking. It's your host, Gold. So, I've been enjoying my nice little week off from work. Not gonna lie to y'all. I'm gonna start off with that. I've been enjoying this time to myself. I've done a lot of resting, a lot of inner work that I've been neglecting and everything like that. A lot of self-care, both mental and physical. And I've just been having time to breathe. You know, it's been a great couple of days. It has been. I'm not even sad that I have to go back to work Monday. I'm not even sad about it. Like, it's fine. It's all good. I'm just happy that I decided to take off for this week and give myself some space to just breathe. Just breathing. I really think about it. Like, I've disconnected from the world for a bit. I had to do a little disconnect. Phone's been off. Majority of the time. I've kind of just been my screen time, my phone even been like down tremendously. When I turned it back on, it's down tremendously. So it's been very nice. I've read a couple books. They was a stream. I got a lot done this week when I had nothing to do. I got rid of, because my last assignment for my previous semester was on Saturday. And I finished that out. Matter of fact, I think I did it that Saturday, actually. I knocked it out that Saturday, finished that. Once that was finished, it was like I have nothing else to do. I have literally a week to just do absolutely nothing. And I say all this to introduce the topic for today, which is mental health. Because it's May. Y'all know every May we do the mental health awareness episode. And what's a better time to do it than right now after I just took a couple of days for my mental myself. I just did a little work for my mental on my own. So what better ways to lead into talking about mental health awareness month than talking about my own experience? Because y'all know the stories. Right? I've said it on a couple episodes. I read about, you know, I suffer from depression and anxiety. I attempted to unalive myself a few times and everything. Like, I've told y'all these stories already. You guys know about this at this point. So I'm taking a different way to talk about this month with this year and this month to talk about mental health. It's mostly about just like disconnecting, bro. Like, I think we're in a state of being now with the current climate and the way the world is now to where we're just always on go. Like, we're always on go. We never have a chance to, like, in our minds, in a way, for sure. We never have a chance to just sit back and just catch our breath. Like, it's always, okay, I knocked this out. Now I got to go do this. Now I got to do that. Because originally, when I took this week off from work, I said I was going to do this, that, and the third. I said, I'm going to do like 7-8 podcast episodes. I'm going to stream a shit ton. I'm going to do this, that. I'm going to go here. I'm going to go there. And then the closer it got to when that week arrived, I was like, you know what? That's the problem. The problem is that I'm constantly in a state of being on go, and I need to take a step back and just not do anything that's not a necessity. Like, of course, still got to deal with life stuff. Like, still got to handle life, business, running errands, whatnot. If things pop up, got to handle that. You know, things like that. I was like, you know what? I'm going to take this week, which I have no obligations. My time is reserved for no one but myself. Any time that's given anywhere else is something that I decided to schedule a time block off, in a sense. And I had none of that. So I was like, you know what? I'm not doing anything. I'm just going to be at home as much as possible, go to the gym, do those kind of things. But other than that, not doing anything. I'm going to relax. And I did that. And when I say, like, I've been, as of right now, I'm in a much better place with my mental than I was even just a couple of days ago, like last week, matter of fact. Like I'm in a much better space because I just need a break from everything. I did. I just need a break. Cause like even when I was like in my therapy sessions, and everything like that, my therapist asked, like one session we were going over my assignment that I had some homework I had to do. We're going over assignment, and I made a comment that was that was wild, because we was going over like a morals and values assignment that I had to do, and we got to humor. She asked, "So how are you incorporating humor?" This and that, like, how are you valuing human? Something along those lines. And I was like, my life. And at that point, she just stopped and said, "You know what?" She said, "What do you need? I need you to tell me what you need right now. Like, we need to know. Like, we, I don't, like, we need to see what you need because this is not good. I don't like this." So I was like, "I just need a break. I just need a break. I just want to just disappear, vanish, not talk to anybody, just turn my phone off and just do nothing." And I got to do that. I got to do that, and I feel like it was needed in a lot of ways, because I feel like with me just taking time to myself to where like I'm not bothered by anything that doesn't pertain to, it isn't urgent, like it's something I have to tend to. If it's a mandatory assignment, okay, I had to go do it, you know. If it was optional, I declined. Like it was just as simple as that. And it was crazy too, because like when I told people, I was like, "Yeah, I'm on vacation from work." They're like, "Oh, you're on vacation? Where you going?" And I was like, "Nowhere." They're like, "What you mean? You say you're on vacation. You say you're going on vacation. So where you going?" I was like, "Nowhere." And like, you'd be surprised how many people, when I said I was going on vacation, they'll say, "What you gonna do? What you gonna do?" Or they'll be like, "Well, what you got? Well, where you going? Where you going?" And I'll just tell them nowhere, or I'll say nothing, nothing at all. And then they'll just kind of be awkward a little bit and be like, "What you mean? Like nothing? Like you're not doing anything? Like you said you're on vacation." Like that was kind of the responses I was giving. I realized then, like, we're in a state of society now for real, where it's like, whenever we, like, we have to always be doing something. We can't just breathe. We have to always be doing something. Cause like the reactions I got when I literally said I was doing nothing, I was going on vacation for a week from work and I was doing nothing. The reactions I got that proved my point when I was saying like, yeah, we're really in the state now to where like, we feel like we have to be productive 24/7. And I feel like you could be productive. You could still be productive even by doing nothing, because you're being productive with your mental health. You're helping to improve that, because we need time to breathe and process and decompress and all that. But we don't have that in today's society, because everyone feels like, if like people always say, "Oh, you ain't got no motion, this, that, and the third, and all this and that." Sometimes you got to stop. Like you do, like you're driving yourself crazy trying to keep this motion going, and you running on fumes. You done ran the oil out, the tires damn near thread going on, like you the brakes worn out, like you done rolled till the wheels fall off literally, and you got to sit down and be like, "You know what? I need to sit down and just," where you're like, you don't have to show up for every event. Because I fell into that trap too, because it got to a point where at one point when I was in undergrad, I did not really hang out with my friends like that. I did not. I will admit that. I say all the time, when I was an undergrad, it can be said that I wasn't that great of a friend at the time, because I was focused on one goal and one goal only, and that was to finish school. That was to finish, get my degree. I was focused on that because it wasn't just about me getting it. It had more deeper meaning to it than just me making an accomplishment of a goal. It was more deeper meaning to it. And I put a lot of people to the side. I did. And I wasn't around for a lot of moments. I wasn't present for them. And did I have some sense of regret about it looking back? Yeah, like looking back in hindsight and, you know, revisiting the past and thinking about things like, yeah, I could have just not studied that day for this. So I could have just sacrificed a little sleep for this and that. And I felt bad about things. I do. Which is why I try to make up for it by being, trying to be more present and being like a better friend as of late. You know, like my friends, when I say them, they're like, "Nah, man, you was good. We know you was busy. You had that's going on. What that and that. Like, you good." Like, you know, and that's, I respect that. You know, that's why I love my friends so much, because they understand it. They understand, like, no judgment. Like, they cool about things. Like, it's no tension, no beef, no misunderstandings. Like, it's an understanding about We all adults. We all got stuff going on. Life be life. And everybody understands that. So we good. But I try to put myself in a position where I could be more present and show up for them more. And I started to run myself kind of thin by kind of making a lot of plans and like signing up for a lot of obligations that it came to time. I just didn't want to do it anymore. I didn't want to do it. And I was in the mindset of, well, I'm not going to not do it. I'm going to do it because I said I was going to do it. So I'm going to do it. I got to that mindset, but I got to that point to where I got so, I fell back into the loop because instead of being like on go nonstop with school, I became on go with just everything else, like with friendships, with work. Like I replaced the school aspect of things with other things like work. Or just trying to be present for others as I possibly could be. And that was a detriment to my mental. It was. It was very detrimental to my mental. That's why when I said vacation, I meant I wasn't doing anything. It's a vacation for the mind. That is what it's for. The destination is nowhere because I need to be nowhere. I need to just focus on oneself and think and process things that I've experienced and think about what I want to do going forward with a lot of things. Because one of my favorite phrases I say all the time is a vacation is not always a destination. I want y'all to remember that. A vacation is not always a destination. A vacation can literally just be you doing nothing. Your time is your time. You got 24 hours in a day. We always use that phrase. We all got the same 24 hours. No, we don't. We have 24 hours. Two things can be true. We all have 24 hours in a day, yes. However, how we utilize the 24 hours is not the same from the next person or the next being. It's not. So it just is what it is. Am I being literal? Yes. Do I care? No. But it's just how I go. Like, we got to understand that. Like, that's a thing we say all the time. Then we use the, well, people make time for what they want to make time for. And that's true, too. You do. Like, if it's something that you want, you're going to make time for that thing. It just is what it is. Whether that's financially related, relationships, things that you want to do, like personal goals, things you want to do, you're going to make time for what you want to do. It just is what it is. That's just how we do it. But again, it goes back to saying that we have 24 hours apiece. Yes. However, we all utilize those 24 hours differently. It just is what it is. So one thing I'll say for sure about like this week I took, it kind of gave me a nice reset. Like I felt myself getting agitated. And that's another sign that people don't realize with like when you're struggling with your mental. We don't realize that. Like when you start feeling like you're a little more agitated, your patience is running thinner. You kind of seclude yourself from others and everything like that. All those are signs that you're struggling mentally. Just all like you're withdrawing from society. That means you're struggling a little. You're struggling in some way, whether that's stress or just burnout. It's what it is. And I felt my way. I felt myself getting that way because, like, for instance, when I'll be at work, like I have my friends at work, like I do, and I do love and appreciate them. But it got to a point where I just didn't want to be bothered. And it wasn't even that they did anything. They didn't do anything. It was nothing with them, nothing personal at all. It was just, I just didn't want to be bothered. Like I would find ways to isolate myself from others because I just didn't want to engage with them, even with a high and by. And it wasn't everybody, but it was like a good bit. I just would not want to engage in a conversation or anything because I didn't have the mental capacity or the space to, like, engage with them, communicate with them. And that's just how it is with, like, a lot of things right now in my life. Like, I say all the time, I'm like the friend, the therapist friend, because it's like everybody issues or whatever that has things going on, they come to me. And kind of vent about it. And like I said, I don't have a problem with that. Like I have an open door policy. Like if we're friends and we cool and I rock with you, we have an open door policy. And if you got to talk to me about something, you want to talk to me about something, then I'm all ears. Does that backfire on me sometimes? Yes. But I don't like to like box out like my loved ones or like my friends or loved ones. I don't like to box them out. Like if we were really close, now if you just like a, I don't want to be mean, but like we have like the associate pool. Like you're an associate pool, this and that. I ain't trying to hear all that. But we're like legit friends. Anything like that, and we talk often, you know, we're cool, whatever. By all means, you got something you want to talk about, get off your chest, can come and tell me about it. Talk to me about it. We can talk. Like, I'm all for conversation. And not even for a response. Like, I'll just listen. Sometimes I don't even respond. I'll just listen. Because everything doesn't require a response. And that goes for what someone's talking negative to you or someone's venting to you. It doesn't always require a response. Sometimes you just listening does a lot for that person mentally. They just feel heard. Or sing, you know, like sometimes it's all people really need or want. Like I had recently a friend ask me about, wanted to vent to me about something. And I really appreciate them for what they said because I don't normally get this preface or introduction when people bring me like things that they just want to talk about, you know, like they want to talk about any event or something that's heavy. It kind of just usually gets dumped on me. It is what it is. But before they even told me about anything that was going on, they legit just asked me. They was just like, hey, like, I just really need to talk about this with someone. But if you don't have the, like, basically, since they're saying, like, you don't have the mental capacity or the space to, you know, excuse me, to hear this or whatnot, or to like just let me vent about it. I don't want to just dump this on you. Essentially, what they said, and I appreciate that because I don't normally get that, like that warning label. You know, I don't usually get that. I usually just get like just told like what's going on. That's it. As normal, like a question, like, you know, are you good? Like, are you good to even hear this right now? Like, you got anything going on that's like too pressing? If you do, then I won't worry about saying anything. I'll just be quiet, kind of thing, or like I'll just, you know, keep it to myself and we'll talk about it when you're in a better space or something like that. I don't normally get that. I don't. And that, whether I want to accept it or not, that weighs a lot on me because I become like a journal. I used to say this all the time with my first therapist. Her name was Mindy. I never said that. And she was like, what do you feel Trent is? That's what she was going to say. What do you feel you are? Like, who are you? And I said, I feel like I'm a journal. And she was like, what you mean by that? And I was like, I feel like I'm just a journal with unlimited pages that everyone that comes in contact with me can just scribble out something in. They can scribble out a page. They want to. Like, they just come by, scribble out a page. Then once they get that page filled up, then they dip. They rip that page out and they dip. Or something like that, like along those lines. And she was like, She was like, well, that's an interesting way to view yourself. I said, that's how I view myself as a journal. But like, I'm a journal that has a password, a lock, a key, all that. But I don't have anywhere to store my stuff because my pages are filled with other people's problems and whatnot, things they got to say. And She didn't have a response for that. I'm not gonna lie to you. She didn't have a response for that when I told her that. Cause I was like, yeah, I feel like I'm a journal that just keeps getting written in. And all my pages was just filled. And I don't have any space to even add anything that I have going on because I have so much written on each other pages. I just don't have the space. And it brings it back to, I remember I said this on last episode, but I did go to the Kendrick Lamar concert. Great experience. I loved it. I want to go to another show if I could. I really wish I could go to another show because I loved it. It was great. I had got great seats. I got floor seats too. Like, it was nice. It was an experience. And I can finally check out Kendrick Lamar on my box of artists I need to see while they're still in their peak. Because it's over for Kanye. Kanye's done. That's the one person that I can't support or endorse anything he does now. I can't even bring myself to listen to his old music anymore because he just went off the rails too much recently. I just can't. He said a lot of things I just don't agree with or align with as a person. I just can't. But he has a song It was actually on Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers. Me and Jock did an episode about that. It was Jock's guest appearance on the podcast. He is still going to be a co-host. It's just life busy. So it is what it is. Like, he's in the middle, like, him and his wife are doing this amazing festival right now. Like, they're you know, promoting, curating, and everything. It's amazing. It's a beautiful show. It's on Presence Fest. If anybody's in, any of my listeners that are in the Baton Rouge, which I'm assuming most of them are, because this is where I'm from, of course. I'm thinking most of y'all will be. If y'all not busy, let me make sure I tell y'all the right thing. This is a very shameless plug I'm doing right now, but you know what? I don't care. It's for the homie. But yeah, they have it's called Presence Fest. They do it well, I don't know how long it's been going. I just found out about it last year when Jock told me about it, and I went and I enjoyed the art exhibit. It was amazing. It was beautiful. It was very beautiful. But they have, dang, where's the date on this thing? I can't find the date. It's cut off on the screenshot. Ain't that something? I gotta find a better one. Oh, there we go. There we go. March 31st. I'm not March 31st. I am so sorry. I went back in time, y'all. I'm tripping. Rewind. Presence Fest. This year, 2025, May 31st. It's from 3 to 8 p.m. It's going to be over there in our neck of the woods, actually, in Skylineville Plaza. I'm going to plug in the address and everything like that in the description, so that way if y'all want to attend, y'all can attend. It's a very shameless plug I'm doing right now, but it is what it is. But, yeah, it's the, what am I about to say? Yeah, Jock will, he will co-host again. He will be a co-host. He just, like I said, just busy. I actually have to talk to him. I haven't talked to him I haven't done my monthly check-in. I don't think I did my monthly check-in for April. I know I'm going to have to text him and check in and see how he's doing, actually. I'm going to do that tomorrow, actually. But sorry, I'm thinking out loud. Anyway, so me and Jock, we broke down. We didn't do like a super super in depth broke down, because that was like the first time he was on the podcast. We didn't really like get deep into it. I want us to revisit that and Jen next. I want us to revisit like the Kendrick albums and like discuss them. I think those would be like great episodes. So we'll probably get to that, actually. But anyway, you know, he has an album, Miss Morale and the Big Steps, came out in 22. Dang, it was 3 years ago. Jesus Christ, what the time flies. But yeah, came out in 22. He has a song on there. It's the intro track to part two. Because part two is the Miss Morale side of the tape, I want to say. Is Miss Morale? Yeah, it's Miss Morale is the second part. So he has a song. The first song that starts off that section is Count Me Out. Love that song. Count Me Out is probably my favorite Kendrick song, which isn't that uncommon, believe it or not. I know a lot of people be saying like the Kendrick fans, they be saying like Sing About Me Down the Third. So they'll say, I know I see a lot of people say Wesley Theory. It's a certain demographic. I'm not going to just single them out, but I know a lot of people say Wesley Theory. Yeah, Sing About Me, Down to Thirst, Wesley's Theory. Duckworth is also one that also gets very, a lot of love. A lot of people that tapped out on Kendrick after Good Kid, Mad City, they'll say like Money Tree's their favorite song or something like that. It'd be some weird things you hear nowadays. But anyway, he had the song Count Me Out. Count Me Out. I love the intro to the song, because the intro describes like a lot of thoughts and like feelings that I think a lot of people can relate to it, actually. Like, listen to it, you can relate to it a lot. So it starts off, it says, one of these lives, I'm gonna make things right with the wrongs I've done. That's one of you now with the father's son. Till then I fight. Rain on me, put the blame on me. Got guilt, got hurt, got shame on me. Got six magazines that's aimed at me. Done every magazine was fame to me. It's a game to me with a bedroom mate. Sleep, I ain't never had affairs with that. What's fair when the hearts and the words don't reach? What's fair when the money don't take things back? It's rare when somebody take your dreams back. I care too much, want to share too much, in my head too much. I shut down too, I ain't there too much. I'm a complex soul, they laid me up. Broke me down, morality's dust, I lack in trust. This time around, I trust myself. Please everybody else but myself. All else fails, I was myself. I've done fear, I've done myself. this year you better win yourself. Mask on the, you know, that don't really matter no more. Mask on the op, well, mask in the neighborhood store, that don't really matter either. But a mask on high, who you are inside, look around in reality, it's carved in lives. Wipe my ego, dodge my pride. Look myself in the mirror, Amityville, I ain't seen nothing scarier. I fall like a pit bull terrier, blood I shed could fill up aquariums. Tell my angels carry them. Every emotion being deprived, even my strong points couldn't survive. If I didn't learn to love myself, forgive myself 100 times. That's that intro alone is all. I'll usually run that intro back a couple of times, I ain't gonna lie. Because he said a lot of things in there, like, you, especially if you a person that's, like, been going through, like, working on yourself and everything like that, and going through therapy, like, you, and you depend on what you're in therapy for and what you're dealing with, you can relate to a lot of things he said, because, like, it's, let me see how I can break this now, because he says this, and then in the backdrop, it has the background vocals that says, and I'm tripping and falling. And even in the video he has for the song, he states, at the beginning, it's like, it's a therapy session. It's the beginning. Getting up, he's turned his back on his therapist, and he like, and she's like, well, keep going. This next day, I thought the session was over. My bad. But he kind of had clocked out mentally. He had kind of went somewhere else. He was kind of clocked out. Came back, they talked. It was like a parking spot. He's like, well, how you feel? We took the lady's parking spot. He's like, I felt decent. And he was like, cause I did take a parking spot like that. And they joking this and that, like laugh, which is funny because that's often how my therapy sessions go. Like normally, therapists always ask, and I feel like this is like therapy sessions like everywhere. I feel like. But again, I wouldn't know because, like, it's just my experience. But I feel like, you know, all of them kind of start off kind of lighthearted, like, well, how are things going? And then it flipped the switch and gets very serious. Because that's often how my sessions go. Like, normally, they're asking, well, how are things? And I say, oh, normal, you know, school, life is life. I hate my job, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. And then we laugh. And then it gets... All right, well, let's get to this. So, and then the whole tone shifts and everything like that. And in the video for Calm Me Out, he does that perfectly, portrays how I believe most sessions in therapy go, like how it should go. Like, it started off lighthearted, and then it got serious. Like, okay, so you text me, like the therapist says, you text me at, like, what, 2 a.m.? And you said, I feel like I'm falling. And then basically, like, and what, why do you feel like that? What's your motive makes you feel like that? And that's when he goes into the intro that I just recited. Goes into the intro and repeats that. He says that to, and it shows visuals. Like, it shows the opening frame when it goes to, like, the song and, like, the instrumental start playing. The opening frame of there is like a child. It's a child walking out in a red suit. Walk out. They stomp on out. They got wings, too. But they jump on out. Then they stop, and then they throw up, you know, like the church fans. Y'all know the little church fans, paper fans. Throw that up, and it's a sad face on there. And then the sad face transitions to Kendrick as an adult. And when I watch that, I'm like, I relate to that so much. Cause it's like the sad inner child. It's like his inner child is still, it's like he's demonstrating and like symbolizing his inner child is like sad or broken. And just because you get older doesn't mean that just heals. Like, you have to heal the inner child separate regardless. It don't just come with time. Like, oh, it's going to, when I get older, it's going to get suppressed and I'll be fine. Like, no, your inner child, if that inner child was hurt, they still hurt and they never got healed. You never took them to the doctor. Look at it that way. You never took them to the doctor. They fell down, got the ACL snapped in half. You just said, walk it off. You never really went, got treated, none of that. You just let it just... sit and do whatever. So I always thought that was really dope how he symbolized that. And then like he goes to different lines in the songs, like he shows like when he wasn't faithful, like he showed like the women and all that kind of stuff, like basically saying like, we say he got guilt, got hurt and shame on me, because like, you know, shameful for cheating. He has a fiance he's had for about 10 years, and I ain't gonna lie, and you know, he was unfaithful to and whatnot, but still, they stood up. They still there. They still rocking this and that. But he has that guilt. Even though they might have overcome that, he still has that guilt of when he fell short as a person, as a man, and whatnot. And you know, now you got kids with it too. Like, they have kids and everything. So it's kind of, you know, it's guilt you gotta live with. And then, like he says, care too much, want to share too much, in my head too much, I shut down too. I feel that line very deeply, because a lot of times I find myself putting others before myself. I do. And that's something I struggle with a lot and I need to get better with. But I'll put everyone else first and then put myself last. And that's not a healthy mindset to have. Like, it might sound all like, oh, that's so kind and this and that, but it's not healthy to do. It's not healthy to do at all. Because it comes to the point to where you just get, like, it's the pouring from an empty glass phenomenon that goes on with it. Like, you pour into everybody's glass. You got a pitcher of water. You pour into everybody's glass. Then you look at your glass and try to pour some more water in yours, and there's nothing coming out there but air. The water's gone. You just pour it into everybody else, and your glass is empty now. You have nothing to pour into your own. And that's something that I feel like something I struggle with. I'm just not make that a generalized thing. I'm going to say by myself. That's something I struggle with a lot, because I will always put the needs for others before myself. I've gotten better with prioritizing myself more over the years, but that's something that I've had a very, very hard time, like, learning to do. Could I put myself in a bind trying to help others out? And I have had to learn to stop that, because at the end of the day, it's not that you don't want to, but sometimes you just aren't able to, or you don't need to, because if you wear yourself down for everyone else and everybody else in the world, and then you have nothing else to give, nothing to do, then who's going to be there for you at the end of the day? So you need to make sure that you're protecting and helping yourself as much as you're helping others. Like, you need to treat, like people say all the time, to go and treat others as you would like to be treated. But we don't treat ourselves how we treat other people sometimes. That's just how it is. Crazy reality of the world, but that's just how it go. We lost the golden rule a long time ago. But yeah, it's like those like lines in the open air. And then when he says, let me make sure I'm reading the right part. Let's see. He has another part, so it's not an intro. It's the last verse when he says it. Let's see. I made a decision, never give you my feelings. Fuck with you from a distance and put it on the devil when they fall short. I put it on my ego, Lord of all lords. Sometimes I fall for. So that line, when I hear that line, I always think about how a lot of times growing up African-American, I ain't going to say the other term, I'm going to use proper terminology. Growing up African-American, we especially if you was in the South and you grew up in a very church-oriented family atmosphere, you often get told, like, when something bad happens, say, ain't nothing but the devil. That's all, you know, we always hear that. You know, that's grandma, grandpa, everybody, auntie, everybody, mama, dad, everybody favorite saying, this ain't nothing but the devil. Ain't nothing but the devil. When a lot of times, and I started questioning this too a long time ago. Like, I was like, a lot of times, like, when stuff goes south, we'll blame it on, like, the devil or something like that, or something like evil. But sometimes I feel like it's not always the devil. It's the consequences of our action, which, you know, God gave us the power of choice and free will. And I feel like a lot of times we'll put all bad things on the devil, but who say that's not God trying to teach us a lesson for being hard-headed and not following the plan that he has set out for us? Like, who's to say that, you know? So I feel like a lot of times when we put things on the devil, it's not that. It's more so like the ego side of things, or the cockiness, or the certainty, like, oh, no, this is going to be the right move. I got this. Like, you know, like, think, treat it as like a parlay. Like, you know, we gamble. Making a parlay is gambling. That's gambling. But when we win, but when we see people win, like, these 100K parlays or 10K parlays and whatnot like that, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Who's to say that that's what God wants us to get that money from when we say gambling is a sin? Like, how can we frame that? First thing we want to do is thank God we're sinning to get what we got. We want to thank God, which is a violation to his covenant. So, again, what are we doing? You know what I'm saying? So, it's like, we always want to blame the bad things on Satan. However, sometimes it's really just the human ego that takes control. And you think that you're all knowing and this and that, and you step out and then you fall short. It just is what it is. This is how life goes. But we always want to blame it on the devil. And sometimes it's our own doing. It's not always the devil. And I'm not saying it because I'm not saying like I'm a satanic worshiper or something like that. I'm not saying it like that. But I'm just saying, like, just think about a different perspective. Because that's something I learned too, that life in itself is about perspective. Like, everyone has grown up with different upbringings, different experience, different things that have shaped and molded them for who they are. So you got to understand that what you perceive as a norm might be taboo for the other. You never know. And I just, like, I hear that song Count Me Out, and I just think about a lot of times, like, when I've been alone and thought, and like in my own thoughts and in my head about things, and just trying to like process and think through different things. And then I often go back to bad things because I have a crazy memory, which I hate sometimes. People say, you have great memory, you should love that. I hate it because you don't get to select and choose which memories you remember. You remember the bad ones, you remember the good ones. Just linger on to them. And it makes it hard to forget and move on from them because you keep replaying them in your head nonstop. It just hurts. It's a very traumatic thing. When you experience like a trauma, you're experiencing that in your head 90 million times, damn near. Like, it just keeps on like a loop and repeat. And a lot of times us as African-Americans, we shy away from like therapy because, for one, therapy is expensive. I'm gonna say that now. It's expensive. It is what it is. Like, it's not a cheap thing to do. And if you want to, you can go get one. You can find different resources to get you one. But a lot of times they suck. Like, I've heard some horror stories. People are trying to find like therapy for the low, and it sucks for them. So it is expensive. It's an investment. And we're in a society now where most Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. So you don't really have the budget to incorporate a therapist into that for your finances and things like that, because you live in paycheck most of the time. And also, a lot of therapists now, they don't take insurance, which is also a thing. They don't take insurance because they don't want to deal with the insurance companies. So that's another thing. So even if you have insurance, it's hard to find. It can be hard to find a good therapist. You got to really search and whatnot, because even the ones you can find, most of the time, they're not taking clients and whatnot. So it's weird to say, but it's kind of like a gatekept community now to like to seek a therapist out and find the one that actually will work with you and do what they need to do and help you achieve the goals you want to achieve. But that doesn't mean we should neglect our mental health. That doesn't mean that. That's not an excuse. You just have to, like, if you get to the point to where you feel like you're just that low, to where you just feel like you're just falling and sinking, and it's like, I tell people all the time, like, depression and being sad are not the same thing. It's not, like, being sad is just like, you know, just we might cry, you get over it. Depression lingers. Depression lingers hard. It lingers harder than most emotions I've ever felt in life. Like, it lingers a lot. That and anxiety, they linger. And the problem with it is that we just think we could chat GPT, or we can go on TikTok, or we can go on Twitter or X, as they say now, Facebook, and we can find someone that's saying the same thing. They can basically give us advice, but it's more so just how can I say this? It's more like a calling mechanism. Like, for instance, ChatGPT. I've seen a lot of people over the past couple of months, especially, use ChatGPT as a therapist. I've seen this a lot lately. I think this is the worst thing that society has decided to start doing, because at the end of the day, that is not a licensed therapist. ChatGPT is AI, of course. AI is machine learning. So it's just taking what millions of people have already said, or it's pulling from random hits on Google or different sources or whatnot. Maybe prior to Reddit. I'm pretty sure you can go on Reddit and find somebody that got the same issue going on that has the same response ChatGPT is giving you. I'm more than certain you can. Like, it's just like Reddit, but at hyperspeed. And you don't have to do the searching through the posts. It's going to just tell you what you want to hear. And that's the problem with it. It tells you what you want to hear, not what you need to hear a lot of times. So I have my own thoughts and opinion about the whole using AI as a therapist kind of stuff. I have my own thoughts about it, but that's a whole nother episode for another day. But we seek out help from the internet or TikTok. Like we get, like people get their news from TikTok, from Facebook, all this kind of stuff. Nobody actually watches like a CNN for real. Not all age group millennials, but I watch like a CNN for real. Nobody watches like the local news. They just get off of TikTok. And TikTok is so, and the internet now is so AI generated and so fake. Where you can chop stuff up and make it real. You can make it look as real as you want it to look, and you can believe it, and people run with it. Like I've seen today, matter of fact, I saw today, because I turned the phone back on, got on, said, let me see what's going on like the social. So I got on, scroll by. I seen streamer, Kai Cenat. Apparently him and one of the other streamer dudes in their little group, they say he kicked them out of it, whatever. I've seen so many clickbaits videos of it, of that situation, saying like, oh, he said, of Kai Cenat, this and that. And it's just somebody chopped up some videos, some clips, and put them together, make it seem like it's pertaining to this current situation when it was something that happened months or years ago. Like, it's crazy. Like, you don't know what's real and what's fake anymore. Like, we're real life in the matrix. Like, you just don't know what's real and what's fake. Like, you kind of got to just pick and choose. And then if we have another problem, too, what people think, because they see these buzzwords on the internet, like, oh, gaslighting, or our favorite term from the COVID era, narcissism. You hear those words and they try to label them on the people. Or people try to self-diagnose themselves too, saying like, oh, well, I have this, that, and the third. And it'd be stuff that don't make sense. It'd be some internet stuff that people made up to enable them. Or they'll make fake posts saying, my therapist told me that when you this and that, you ripping out. And people are like, you know what? You're right. This and that. I'd be like, a therapist didn't say that, y'all. That is some random bot on Twitter that just made that post up. You can find that tweet probably all over the internet. Somewhere on Reddit from 7-8 years ago, somebody just made it up. It's probably not real. Like, we get to the point where we feel like, could we see it on socials, that it's real life? And a lot of that be fear-mongering and fake. It don't always be real. But at the end of the day, you choose to believe what you want to believe. And that's also a problem, too, with the mental, because socials have become so, like, it's not even funny anymore. Like, now it's just all serious. It's think pieces. Like, I've seen think pieces about Tracy Ellis Ross wanting to date younger men. But what's the problem with a man thing, the younger woman? If a woman can say, an older woman wants to say she wants to date younger men, but if it's the opposite, it's a problem, blah, blah, blah. I see that. Or who's paid all the bills, man or the woman, blah, blah, blah. It's always the same debate and just discourse about nothing. And it's draining. It's draining mentally. You always up to something crazy or effed up about another country going through something or some person that had this going on, some teenager that got killed. I seen the case about the boy that got killed by police. So the father went and killed the random police officer just to get his gift back. Like, it's always something crazy going on. Like, we in crazy times. And that's just me saying again that it's good to just disconnect from things. Disconnect from things for your mental, for your safe place, for your peace. That's what it comes down to. So mental health is not just about just battling these traumas or whatever. It's also about protecting your peace or regaining that peace and sustaining it. That's also part of it, too. Because you can do all the work you want and go to all the therapy, get on all the meds, whatever. But if you're not doing the inner work into yourself or finding a way to reestablish your peace and your well-being, then it's all for naught. It just is what it is. So say all that, I'm going to end this episode right there with that note. I'm going to plug in my good pal Jock and his lovely wife Ashley's festival into the description. So y'all be sure if y'all are free to attend, because they do good work. They do good work. It's really dope. So y'all should really, y'all free, go hit it up. Don't bring no foolishness. It's all peace, love, happiness, good vibes, and good energy. Like, don't bring none of that foolishness. So yeah. And with that, I'm going to bid you all adieu, and I will see you all next week. Peace out.